The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Present your case to our experts by calling in between 12:30 and 1 on Sundays. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now your host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, where we save lives and protect families, including Norma from Apollo Beach, Florida, who has survived melanoma because of early detection due to her attendance at a last year's Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, and Karen from Illinois, who developed heart failure and cardiac arrest from previously unrecognized obstructive sleep apnea. Because of Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, the diagnosis was made, treatment with CPAP begun, and her heart is already twice as strong by ejection fraction, and she feels great. And we congratulate Norma, Karen, and all the other women and men that have made a difference in their lives and their health due to the information that they received from Focus on Females. The Radio Healthcare Clinic and our Women's Healthcare Symposium, which, by the way, is now the largest healthcare symposium in the country, are both brought to you by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic health safety net, making you a lay expert in your medical problems, leading to a better partnership with your existing doctor, more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable health and emergency care. And on today's clinic, we have Dr. Randy Feldman, and it is really my great honor to have Dr. Feldman with me. I know him personally. He's a good friend of mine, as well as an excellent, excellent orthodontist, and we're going to be going into the world of temporomandibular dysfunction today. And any of you out there with known symptoms related to temporal mandibular dysfunction, that is the jaw joint, and or recurrent headaches, you may be interested in listening or calling in and asking a question, because as we'll tackle during the hour, it turns out that temporal mandibular joint dysfunction is a common cause of recurrent headaches. And we'll talk more about that with Randy. But first, let me introduce you to Dr. Randy Feldman. Dr. Randy Feldman has brought many, many happy, healthy, and beautiful smiles to his orthodontic patients in Tampa Bay over the past 27 years. Randy has received his master's degree in orthodontics, as well as his doctor of dental surgery, and bachelor's of arts in zoology, all from the Ohio State University. Randy is a diehard Buckeye. He is a clinical assistant professor in the Department of Pediatrics at USF College of Medicine and holds a patent for ceramic brackets. He is also a very active community leader. He was the former president of Make-A-Wish Foundation for 3 years. In addition to being on the board of directors for Voices for Children and being a guardian ad litem, Dr. Feldman has established several programs for children throughout the community. As president of More Health, Inc., he created programs promoting health education for students in Pinellas and Hillsborough counties. He established the Feldman Orthodontic Scholarship Program, which awards college scholarships to area high school seniors for the past 20 years. He also has developed and produced a dental exhibit for the Children's Museum of Tampa. He created a program to educate Hillsborough County school children about oral hygiene and prevention of oral cancer. His latest endeavor has been to establish KID-ID in the Tampa Bay area. KID-ID is a free identification system that stores your child's vital information in a secure electronic database. Should your child go missing, you may request the information be sent directly to law enforcement agencies, increasing the chance of a swift and safe return. Dr. Randy Feldman has a beautiful wife, Kelly, 3 great children, Adam, Chelsea, and Dalton, and a loving dog named Noel. He loves boxing, spending time with his family, and creating beautiful smiles. And again, Randy, it really is a pleasure to have you with me today. Not only are you a leader in what you do, but also you are obviously a very active and successful community leader, making a difference in people's lives in so many different ways.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure to be here, Stephen. Thank you for the opportunity to help elucidate the somewhat hazy world of temporomandibular disorders.
Well, let's start with the basics. What is the TMJ?
Basically, a TMJ is where your mouth, your lower jaw, articulates or fits with your upper jaw. And TMJ, people may say, I have TMJ, but TMJ is a place. It's on both sides, right in front of your ear, and at the preauricular area. You can feel when you speak, you can feel the jaw open and closing, and you can feel those little bumps, those little bones. There's actually a fossa, or like a little cup, where the top of the lower jawbone or the condyle fits in, and that articulation is called the temporomandibular joint, and you have one on both sides. So if people say they have TMJ, indeed they do.
They have two of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Indeed, they have two of them, one on both sides. But everyone has TMJ. The question is, do you have TMJ disorder or TMJ dysfunction? Therefore, we say either TMJD or the easier nomenclature would be TMD, temporomandibular disorders.
Well, I'll tell you what. As I sit here thinking about this, and of course I did, as I was thinking about TMJ disorders as I was preparing for today's show, I was struck by how frequently this joint moves. And of course, as we walk, we move all the joints in our legs, even upper body. But for many of us, this joint has got to be the most active joint in the body.
It really is quite active. In fact, we're using it as we speak. But also, it's a very interesting joint. Most of the other joints in your body are a hinge joint or a ball and socket, where this joint has two compartments, an upper compartment and a lower compartment. And the lower compartment basically undergoes rotation. The first about inch or about 25 millimeters of opening is pure rotation. And then as you open wider, the next 15 from 25 to 40 millimeters, or roughly 3 fingers, is more of a translation. So the fancy word means gingloarthroidal joint, which simply means you rotate and then open. So no other joint in the body is like that.
So you say translation, you mean open?
The first part of when you speak or when you open your mouth, pure rotation, and the second part translates means the condyle slides down a fossa called the glenoid fossa, and it slides
open. It's sliding open.
Exactly.
Sliding action.
Exactly.
And I read that TMJ dysfunction can cause up to 25-26% of chronic recurrent headaches. What's your sense about that?
People that have true TMJ, chronic headaches, there's always a mystery to try to figure out what is the true etiology or cause. But if someone does have TMJ, then those numbers sound absolutely correct.
And one study I saw stated that almost 10 million Americans are affected by that. That's huge.
Yeah, that's a tremendous number, yes. Now, it's really interesting because I think something up to 90% of the TMJ does seem to favor women.
Mm. Any idea at this point why that would be?
Well, the only thing that I've read is that there may truly be some female hormone estrogen receptors in the joint, but that the study's only been so far on lab animals.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very interesting. I would imagine that frequently people would mistake a TMJ TMJ dysfunction and the pain associated with it as a sinus headache.
That's true. There's, like, you know, once again, with chronic headaches or headaches, there's so many different possible causes. TMJ has other symptoms that go along with it that sort of help rule it, or at least head you in that direction, such as popping or clicking or pain on mastication, chewing, and that kind of thing.
How frequently is, I imagine if you have popping or clicking, that's makes it obvious what the cause is. How frequently does popping or clicking occur as part of the TMJ dysfunction?
It's really interesting because in the whole purview of, shall we say, problems with your mouth or soreness or dysfunction of the mouth in general, probably 85% of the problems are neuromuscular, which means there's not a clicking and there's not an internal derangement or something actually inside the joint itself. It's extracapsular or outside the joint. And the other 15% are internal derangement inside the joint. You can get headaches with both, either neuromuscular system situation or an internal derangement.
But so if 15% actually come from the joint, then the percentage of patients with this disease that actually pop or click would be the 15%.
Right, correct.
So that leaves 85% as a diagnostic challenge, so to speak.
Exactly. And those folks, you know, can have muscular involvement and still can have headaches, but they don't have the discrete popping or clicking, which is the internal derangement.
And I read that the TMJ dysfunction could actually present with temporal headaches, temporal muscle headaches.
That's very common. If you put your fingers right, you know, by your forehead on both sides, when you're talking, you can feel that muscle working a lot. And when there's a disarticulation or a displacement of the disc, those muscles fire and they can go into spasm.
This is very important because many patients with pain in the temporalis muscle, the temples on either side, if you're over 55 or 60, one of the first things that you're evaluated for by your physician is temporal arteritis or a disease of the blood vessels, which can be very significant, leading to, amongst other things, blindness. But many of those patients, once they're ruled out as negative and do not have temporal arteritis, they're often, at that point, left without a clear diagnosis. It seems to me that perhaps the source of the pain may wind up being the TMJ.
You're absolutely right. It could be, and that takes an acute diagnostician. More than likely, the initial step would be the physician, and the physician will usually try to figure that out themselves or possibly refer them to an ENT or hopefully to a dentist who has the skills to diagnose TMJ.
So you said 85% of the patients with TMJ have it on the basis of neuromuscular. Would you give me an example?
In other words, what I'm saying is that of the patients that have the pain, preauricular tenderness, just soreness, headaches, those kind of things, those folks, you don't know 100% if they have a disc problem or internal derangement. So that's where you have to do some imaging to make sure. If you don't have the imaging situation, you try to resolve the symptomatology with behavioral medicine, heat, moisture, some NSAIDs, which non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, etc.
And you meant the way to image the joint now was with MRI.
Oh, absolutely. That's probably been the biggest change that I've seen in my career, because you used to try to get, you know, flat films, and it's just very, very difficult. It's a very, very small joint. It's difficult to see. The MRI gives us tremendous imaging.
Mm-hmm. And if your bite is off, can that cause this problem?
Oh, absolutely. It's an amazing mechanism, the way the upper and lower compartments of the joint have to work in concert with all 32 or 28 or how many teeth you have. So if the jaw's off, either due to a malocclusion, improper bite, or some kind of history of trauma, or just the jaw didn't develop skeletally like it should, it definitely can affect the TMJ.
And can you have a scenario where the two joints don't work in concert?
Oh, absolutely. More often than not, you can have bilateral displacement of the disc and internal derangement, but more often than not, it's usually unilateral, one side or the other. Yes.
Hmm. Okay, so how do you know if you've got it?
Well, probably, you know, it's interesting. Like you said, you might just have a recurrent headache. You might have pain on chewing. You might have the popping and clicking. You just have these general symptoms, and then, you know, you need preferably see a dentist who's versed in this to help diagnose it. Usually there's preauricular tenderness, which means there's tenderness right over the joint itself. Sometimes there's associated muscle tenderness, either the temporalis muscles or the masseter muscle or the internal pterygoids.
And those are the chewing muscles?
Yes, exactly. There's five muscles of mastication, four chewing muscles or four muscles that involve mastication, and those are sensitive usually to palpation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also look for what's called range of motion, how far you can open, and do you deviate, you have the patient go through those motions straight forward and right and left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this has got to be an area where we really can, I think, improve diagnoses if we keep in mind the TMJ and the potential symptoms that it can cause in the setting of the health of the entire individual. We're going to be right back with more on temporomandibular joint dysfunction with Dr. Randy Feldman on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Back in a flash.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough? Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, and we're tackling temporal mandibular joint dysfunction, TMJ dysfunction, today with Dr. Randy Feldman. And we've talked a little bit about what is the TMJ, what is that jaw joint, and how do you know if you've got it or some of the symptoms you have with it. Randy, we haven't touched on migraines and TMJ dysfunction. Can this often be misdiagnosed as a migraine? Can it coexist with migraines?
You're absolutely right. It's very interesting because, once again, in trying to sort out headaches, it's so hard to figure out, is it sinus? Is it secondary to some eye problems? Is it truly TMJ? But I've seen patients that have TMJ and migraine headaches, and I've seen situations where the TMJ dysfunction can actually trigger the migraine. So they're not necessarily mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Again, another pearl. Another pearl. The TMJ can trigger migraines. How many people out there know of either themselves or family members, friends with migraines, debilitating migraines, and you know, everyone knows the perhaps the common triggers, but has anyone thought or have you included in your consideration the fact that there may be a TMJ or a dental problem for your migraines? It's one of those things that may pass you by and not be under your on your radar, and something to always remember. We talked about diagnostic tools to confirm TMJ. Would that be the MRI?
Yes.
And let's talk also about the relationship between temporomandibular joint dysfunction. And I'll tell you what, before we do, we do have Russell on the phone. Russell?
Yes.
Welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Oh, thank you.
Are you a patient of Dr. Feldman's?
I am.
And tell us about your situation.
Well, I was having a lot of clicking and pain in my jaws, and so I went to Dr. Feldman's office, and he immediately knew what the problem was. It was TMJ.
And was your
my wife? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, was your pain in the jaw up by the ear, or is it elsewhere?
No, it was up by the ear.
Okay, on both sides or one?
Both.
Okay, go ahead.
And I was there for a visit with my daughter, actually, and he knew just by describing what my problems were exactly what treatment I would need, and it worked perfect.
Well, how long had you had these symptoms for, Russell?
Years, probably 10 or 15 years.
And had you mentioned it to others before?
Mentioned it to dentists, but nobody ever really did anything about it.
Had anyone brought up the potential diagnosis before?
No.
Okay.
Nope. First time I really even heard what it was with Dr. Feldman.
Okay. And give me a rough idea how old you are, sir.
I'm 50.
Okay. So you probably had this at least possibly as late as your late 30s.
Yes.
Okay. And how had you managed with it before? Just taking some Advil or...
just kind of deal with it. Or dealt with it, and then it just got to the point where I needed to get something done.
Okay, and what kind of evaluation or treatment did Dr. Feldman initiate?
It's called a splint. I'm not sure the technical name for it, but it's like a retainer that I wear on my bottom jaw, and it just realigns my mouth the way I chew and what was that? Okay. The way I chew and the way I wear it when I eat and when I work. Actually, my treatment is kind of opposite of what I think most people do because of what I do for a living. There's a lot of stress on my jaw when I'm working, so I don't wear it at night, but I do wear it most of the day.
Okay, and you say it's a splint. Randy, maybe you can help us out here a little bit. Is it worn on the teeth?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, and it enables the jaw to be realigned?
Exactly. You realign the jaw so that you're no longer dislocated. You've reduced the dislocation.
Okay. But interestingly, Russell said you can wear it while you're eating.
Yes. In fact, it's critical. It's almost like if someone had a broken leg and you gave them a cast and they said, you know, take off the cast when you go running. You need to, when you're in maximum function, which is eating, you definitely need to wear that. So it's designed so you can eat with it.
Okay. So evidently it must conform to the teeth, so obviously the teeth can still chew and break down the food.
Exactly.
Wearing a splint. And yeah. Do you recommend, Randy, do you recommend patients wearing the splint, are they able to still chew gum, or should they reduce?
Well, anytime there's going to be any kind of stress on the joint while it's healing up, especially in a dislocation situation, you want to reduce the dislocation and you want to keep the splint in anytime you're doing any really chewing activity. So there's function and parafunction. Function meaning eating, parafunction meaning, you know, chewing and biting your nails, buying pens and pencils. So you want to keep the splint in primarily when function, which means mainly eating. And for most patients, not in Russell's case, I have them wear it at night.
Okay.
Now, once they get comfortable, you might be able to wean them off it.
And we'll talk more with Russell and Dr. Randy Feldman on TMJ dysfunction. We'll be back in a flash on Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Focus on. With SRN News, I am Michael Harrington in Washington. The U.S. and South Korea are disputing North Korea's claim that it successfully launched a satellite today. They say the North Korean rocket broke apart and fell into the ocean. The U.S. also says the launch was actually an illicit test of the regime's long-range missile technology. Japan, meantime, is asking the United Nations Security Council to hold an emergency session in the wake of the launch. The council is set to meet later today. President Obama urging the European Union to accept Turkey as a member. He says it would be a positive sign to the Muslim world. He also says the West should seek greater cooperation and closer ties with Islamic nations. He arrives in Turkey later today. And police in Pittsburgh say a deadly ambush began after a woman called 911 about an argument with her son. They say when officers arrived at the home, a man opened fire. Hours later, three officers are dead. Details at SRNnews.com.
Are you one of the many folks who suffer from dry eye? Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but dry eye is something you'll have to live with or nothing can be done for you? Well, don't stand for that answer anymore. Just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems, go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you'll be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with the doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain and redness. Plus, begin targeted therapy right away. The Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, 3001 Swan Avenue in Tampa. Find them online at drmaskin.com. Haven't you waited long enough?
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to Focus on Females. We are talking about TMJ dysfunction. We've got Russell on the phone. Russell, you still there? Russell, you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
All right, we start talking about, Russell's in his, 50 years old, early 50s, and he's had symptoms of clicking in the joint and pain in both jaws by the ear for at least, sounds like at least a decade.
Yes.
And it was finally diagnosed by Dr. Feldman that he had TMJ dysfunction. And he was placed on a splint. And we started talking about you wear the splint during the day, but not at night.
Correct.
Okay. Is it? Was there a difficulty to acclimate to the splint or wearing the splint at all?
A little bit in the beginning, but now I'm wearing it now. So
you sound normal.
I hardly even notice that it's in anymore.
And you can't. And listening to you, you sound. You know, no one would not know listening to you that you had a splint in your mouth.
No, you really can't tell.
And Okay, so you say it, so it took a week or so just to acclimate to wearing it?
Probably not even. Okay. It's a couple days.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very invasive.
Okay, and so you just don't need to wear it at nighttime.
Well, Dr. Feldman said that I wore it 24/7 for the first 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
But now, because things are back in place the way they should be, the dislocation's pretty much taken care of. It's only when I'm driving or stressful situations, working out. I cook for a living, so I'm always lifting pots and, you know, heavy pots of water and food.
Okay.
So I wear it then anytime I put any stress on my jaw.
Okay. So it sounds like you're well on your way here, and the fact that Randy is sounds like he's no longer has a dislocation.
Exactly. I feel very confident that the dislocation has been reduced. We can get another MRI to confirm that, but I hate to have folks keep getting more MRIs. So I just have to look at it clinically. His good range of motion. He doesn't dislocate, and then there's no pain anymore. So
there's a good chance that at some point in time Russell will be able to give it a shot without the splinter completely.
You know, you could do that, but I just get a little antsy about that. Okay. So I like the idea of just, at least it's not 24/7 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it sounds like it's such an innocuous, benign, easy thing to wear.
Well, especially when we design them, we use them in the lower jaw. That makes a big difference because on the upper, it looks funny and you can still talk funny, but it's on the lower jaw, it's much easier to get used to.
I see. Russell, would you like to add anything that we haven't covered as far as how has it impacted your life?
It's been great. I've got no more jaw pain. The clicking's gone. If I take it out and then I eat and forget to put it back in, my jaw gets a little sore, but not, once I put it back in, things get back in place and it's fine.
It's just that dramatic, that quick.
Oh, yeah, it's immediate. I mean, even before I had the splint, Dr. Feldman, I forget what he put, maybe a pencil or something similar, and just realigned the way I bit.
Right.
And it stopped immediately.
Wow.
So I would highly recommend it to anybody that's got TMJ problems.
And that pretty well has pretty much confirmed the diagnosis and the expected effectiveness of your treatment.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Outstanding. Any other comments on Russell's case, Randy?
No, it's just I was really glad that it was that pathognomonic means, meaning that I could tell it was dislocated. I could tell we could reduce the dislocation, which is not something you can always do. And then we corroborated that with the MRI, and he did have the dislocation. I believe the right side was worse, and it did reduce. And so that it did work out well, and I'm very happy that, and very happy for Russell, too.
And this is like a mouth guard or a retainer, basically?
Yeah, it's hard acrylic, and it's on the lower jaw. It's not a football mouth guard like a lot of people think, because
That's more of a rubber, isn't it? Correct?
Exactly. This is actually, it's called anterior repositioning splint. So there's little grooves in the hard plastic that put the jaw in the right position to recapture the disc.
Wow, very interesting. Well, congratulations, Russell, and thanks for sharing your story. We hope that others listening will take the opportunity to seek an accurate diagnosis and really obtain therapy so they don't have to suffer like you've had to suffer for over a decade.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been great.
Great. Thanks for joining us on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Bye-bye, Dr.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah. It's fascinating. Do you, this whole concept, this whole, disease, unfortunately we don't think about it too often as far as the diverse presentations of it. When you treat, TMJ, Randy, TMJ dysfunction, do you also, suggest people eat softer foods?
Especially in the beginning, yes, they have to adjust their diet accordingly. Especially in the beginning, until they get used to it and they're comfortable with the splint. I mean, and honestly, once we make the diagnosis, we still have to get the MRI, and so we're not able to get the splint usually for about 2 to 3 weeks. And I have to read the MRI to make sure of the design of the splint. But during those 2 to 3 weeks, definitely a soft diet is mandatory.
I've read so much about this in the last week, that one oral orthopedist up north describe this DMJ dysfunction as chewing with a limp. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's pretty interesting. I think that's an excellent way to look at it, because it's amazing how many people are limping. I'm amazed how many times I'll see moms and when I'm seeing their kids, the mom will say, you know, my jaw pops and clicks and I live with it and whatever. And I'll just say, well, do this, bring your jaw down forward. And I'll take like the back end of a pen, like Russell said, and said, put your jaw here and open and close. And if it reduces, it's just like you have a dislocated shoulder or dislocated finger. Yeah. You just reduce the dislocation. And people don't realize that. And yes, their teeth or earlier trauma or some other kind of developmental situation may cause it in addition to trauma or stress. But yeah, a lot of people walk around chewing with a limp. I like that.
The other symptom that I'm seeing is that report is that it can cause ringing in the ears. I guess this is called tinnitus.
Exactly.
And how often do people suggest that, hey, your tinnitus or ringing in the ears could actually be TMJ problem?
Well, it's really interesting because what happens is if you look at the anatomy of the joint, when the jaw is dislocated, the condyle goes back and actually compresses on the chorded tympani nerve. And a lot of times that's what's calling the tinnitus, tinnitus, whatever you want to call it, and the ringing. So once again, that's a symptom or finding which is definitely connected with TMJ. And what happens, as soon as you reduce the dislocation, you bring the jaw forward, the disc goes back into place. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you're decompressing the chorded tympani and
ringing goes away.
Exactly.
And the other symptom here that I'm seeing is that a person could actually have muscle pain that radiates down the neck and shoulder. Boy, how many people would think about a temporomandibular joint problem with pain radiating down their neck and shoulder?
Yeah, so it's not
the cardiac, right?
Exactly, exactly. So it's not confused with the cardiac, exactly.
I know, again, it just, you know, one has to broaden your scope of consideration. If the obvious stuff, if the life, potential life-threatening diagnoses have been eliminated, then you've got to, you know, broaden your scope of consideration to include these other types of disorders that can present with these findings and symptoms. It's very important to consider. On the phone is Angela from Tampa with a question on temporal mandibular joint disease. That's a mouthful, Randy. Angela, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay, what is your welcome? First, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you. Well, let me start from the beginning. About 20 years ago, I was taking high impact aerobics, and I would go to the place that I worked out, and I would chew gum before the class, and I guess chewed during the class. And one day, I woke up and I could not. My jaw felt like it was locked and crooked, and it was very, very painful. I did get it checked out by an orthodontist back then. They could have, I'm sorry, I have children running around here. They could have splinted me, but it eventually got better pretty much by avoiding cutting food.
Don't worry. Take your time.
I'm right. Just a minute. I got to put one in timeout.
Go ahead. Take your time.
It eventually got better by avoiding nitrates, cutting my food up, and stopping the chewing of the gum and things like that. Over the years, it has, you know, progressively gotten better and worse at times during certain situations. My question, just a minute.
Take your time.
Sorry. Thank you. There we go. So my question is, I have four children now, and I find that I do not grind at night. I know that. But I do have a lot of, I can't relax my jaw a lot of times when I'm falling asleep, because throughout the day the children tend to get you worked up, and you don't want to yell, but sometimes you hold that
stress.
Voice, you know, mm-hmm. that don't do that, and I think that sometimes aggravates mm-hmm. it. So I have had it worked on by massage therapy, excuse me, and I was just wondering, is there a way that you can relax that when you're trying to fall asleep?
Wow, very interesting. Well, first of all, the your mouth has what's called a resting tone. So a lot of people think that when their mouth is relaxed, are the teeth together or not together? Well, the real answer is, just for example, just say the word Mississippi, and that parting of your teeth is where the mouth is to be relaxed. The problem is you don't want to concentrate too much, because then that becomes a problem in itself, just trying to concentrate on relaxing the jaw. So I can't tell you exactly. Just let it relax and try not to worry about it, and the muscles should relax. I mean, you can always take Advil or something like that. But I would go back to the question, because you had some intermittent. Did you say you did have some locking at one time?
Yes.
The only thing I worry about that is that I'm assuming, since you said you had periods where you've gotten better, that means you're on the disc and you're unlocked, And then what I worry about is that, are you going on and off the disc? Are you becoming locked and unlocked? And are you progressing to a situation which could get worse? So my advice would still be, somewhere along the line, if it'd be possible, to get an MRI of the joint and see and have you evaluated clinically to make sure it's not going in that direction. Because you're right, it can get better on its own, but I worry that it may not in the long run. And like you said, with the stress with the children and everything else going on in your life, I don't want it to click off, and then you're stuck in a situation where it can't be recovered or the disc can't be recaptured without doing something more invasive such as surgery. That's my concern.
And Dr. Meskin touched on something where there's, I don't know if there's research that you have pain down your neck and your shoulders and all that. And I have it a lot, all the time, on the sterno and the masseter, all that stuff is always, you know, really, really tight.
Well, you know, your head weighs about the size of, like, if you saw Jerry Maguire, it's like 14 pounds, size of a bowling ball. You're trying to balance it on your skeleton. Well, if your lower jaw is off, it makes you tilt your head. And that's why people, believe it or not, at some of our conferences, even dental conferences, not only people have all the way down pain all the way down their back, they even need to get orthotics and shoe lifts, things like that. It goes down through the whole body. Mm. So if your skeletal balance is off, yes, can definitely affect the rest of the muscles around your neck and your shoulders.
Okay, now I have one quick question.
Well, hang on before we move. Okay. Let's inquire as to other things that may be aggravating it, like chewing gum.
Well, that was my next question.
Oh, okay.
My next question was, I stopped chewing gum for years, and just recently, about 6 months ago, I chewed, you know, sugar-free gum, a couple pieces a day. Now, I did stop that a few weeks ago. When I stopped it, I noticed my jaw, or my, you know, the two sides of my jaws really got tight, and it was really painful. And so I broke down and bought some gum, and I took a piece of gum, and I just relaxed it and chewed it, and it loosened it up. Is that odd?
Well, I think what you did, I mean, more than likely, when you're chewing it before, I think you probably got some edema inside the joint, or effusion, whatever we call it, and it becomes more tighter in there. And then when you separate your teeth, just like I was telling the gentleman on the phone, with the pen or pencil, you do it even with some gum and just keep it separate. Yes, that'll allow the edema to resolve itself, and it will get better from that standpoint. You may still have the dislocation, and that's what I still don't know, but yes, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a great idea.
So let me, just for clarification purposes, are you suggesting, Rainey, that it's okay for her to chew gum, or should she stay away from it?
Well, the bottom line in Angela's case is, the correct thing to do is to try to make a correct diagnosis, because if she is dislocated or if she's coming on and off the disc, then we need to get the MRI and determine that. If she's not dislocated and you're on the disc, then it's a neuromuscular problem, and then you can chew the gum if it's not causing any pain or discomfort. Or if you just like you said, just chew a little bit and keep your mouth separated a little bit, that's fine as well.
How about caffeine? Is that caffeine and alcohol, for that matter, Randy? Is that something to stay away from if you have this problem, that is temporal mandibular dysfunction, or should you not be concerned about it?
Well, most of the literature says if you do have the symptomatologies, that caffeine and alcohol can definitely exacerbate it. So. Yes, but it's really hard for Americans today to avoid, especially the caffeine, I don't know, and the alcohol as well, but it'd be nice to avoid that.
Angela, do you have a follow-up question, or is something that's not clear?
No, I think that's been all covered.
Okay. Well, I wish you the best. And
thank you.
I hope it's not a dislocated situation.
Well, let me add one other thing. You mentioned, Angela, about nitrates. You said you...
Right. That was something I was told years ago by the... I think at the orthodontist I went to in St. Pete, that told me that it's in lunch meats and things like that. Is that true, Dr.?
That could aggravate it?
Right.
Have you heard anything about that?
No, honestly, I haven't.
Oh, okay. Well, that was something he told me 20 years ago, so maybe it was just that health practice.
It's possible.
You know how, Randy, you know how we apply Icy Hot or a variety of different Bengay, whatever, to a muscle that's been overworked. What about the chewing muscle, the masseter?
Yeah, you can definitely, what's called a cold spray and stretch. You can definitely do that for the masseter muscles and externally. Now, internally, you can take your finger and you can massage the internal pterygoid and stuff like that. I believe Angela was saying she had some, you did get some myofascial therapy or massage therapy. That's wonderful for massaging the muscles. Now, you really don't want the therapist to move your jaw around, because he or she could cause a problem. But massaging the muscles, temporalis, temporalis, the masseter, those are, that's phenomenal. That's wonderful.
What was the name of that that you applied on the outside of the chewing muscle, the name of the over-the-counter?
It's just a cold spray and stretch.
Cold sprain?
Cold, C-O-L-D, cold spray and stretch. You just put the cold spray on the muscle, and you just open and stretch.
And that's the name? Okay, but that's not the name. You're not giving a name of
no,
a product.
No, okay. It's just the same thing they use in other physical therapy.
But you can get that at the corner pharmacy?
Yes.
Okay. And what about one other thing here? How about magnesium citrate? Again, I'm just reading that study. The Tufts suggests that magnesium citrate could help relieve muscle tension. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't. Okay. That's unfamiliar to me, but it's from Tufts, it's probably true.
And then another thing people talk about is Botox.
That I have heard. I've heard that in several instances that some oral surgeons are trying to use Botox to relax the muscle, especially in the neuromuscular situation versus the internal derangement.
Okay, that's still being evaluated.
Exactly.
Okay. Angela, anything else?
Touch on the massage. I do have a woman who has for years, she would just take her one or two fingers into the joint there, and she doesn't do what you said, you know, not to adjust it or anything, but she will just push and move her finger around a little bit, and it will just, you can feel it just relax and release, and it's amazing.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
So. Excellent. Okay. Well, Angela, we want to thank you for joining us on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you, Dr. Feldman.
Oh, my pleasure. Take care.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more on temporal mandibular joint dysfunction with Dr. Randy Feldman on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Back in a flash.
This radio healthcare program is being brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 4th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida, 33679-2702.
Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
Okay, welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. And before we move on to a different topic, I'm going to ask Dr. Feldman to relay his office phone number for the last caller or for any other caller that is interested in being evaluated for possible temporomandibular joint dysfunction. Randy, go ahead.
We have two offices in Hillsborough County, but the same phone number is there, code 813-968-2483. Or if you forget, it's 813-968-BITE, B-I-T-E.
Okay. And your website is yourbite.com?
Correct.
And you have, I think, an office in North Tampa as well as South Tampa?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Excellent. And, I think that, we've got about 4 minutes to go. And what would you say, Randy, is the one message, for example, that you'd like to leave with our listeners today about temporomandibular joint dysfunction?
It's really interesting. You're telling me earlier about the gentleman, I think, up north who made the comment of having TMJ is like chewing with a limp. I think that's excellent. I've never heard that before. And the thing is, my biggest comment to the radio audience is the fact that you don't have to live with that pain and that muscle pain or preauricular pain if it is mediated through the occlusion. In other words, if it is secondary to something that can be done in the dental or orthodontic office, I definitely would tell you to avail yourself of the opportunity to at least get a diagnosis and look at the various avenues of treatment.
And if I could add to that, I would also say that if you have any symptoms which may not ostensibly or obviously be related to that joint, but if you have symptoms around the head or neck, and correct me if I'm wrong, Randy, if any symptoms around the head or neck, and if other things have been ruled out, consider a possible dental or a temporomandibular joint cause of these symptoms.
Oh, absolutely agree. It's like I said, we said before, especially headaches or other things, people try to figure out what's going on. And a lot of times in the traditional medical model, physicians don't always refer you back to a dentist or an orthodontist to figure it out. So just you should keep these things in mind.
And after they rule out the cardiac disease or the temporal arteritis, the things that are life-threatening or potentially would blind you, oftentimes, too often, I think, the patient is not encouraged to go ahead and consider other options like a TMJ dysfunction.
And I totally agree with you. And that's my message as well. You know, even if it's not life-threatening, why live with pain?
And let's see, we do have a couple minutes. Let's go ahead and talk about more about clenching and grinding during sleep. Is that part and parcel of TMJ dysfunction?
You know, really, it's interesting because you go back to the etiology or the cause, and I look at things in general as either acute macro trauma, which is usually one of the causes, like, you know, car accident, falling, hitting yourself, in some kind of accident, some traumatic situation, or chronic micro trauma, and clenching, nocturnal bruxism, whatever words you want to call it, it absolutely can lend itself to the neuromuscular part of a TMJ.
So here's my question. Clenching or grinding can cause TMJ. Can the inverse be true as well?
If you have TMJ, you have dislocation, that doesn't necessarily cause grinding or clenching, no.
Okay.
Usually not.
Okay, so it's usually the grinding and clenching that causes the TMJ.
Well, it can cause the neuromuscular components of TMJ. It doesn't necessarily cause a dislocation, but yes.
And you had mentioned during breaks, we talked about the amount of pounds of pressure that a clenched jaw can exert. And I read, I read 300, but I stand corrected. You actually...
Well, the way it works is that they were able to measure, like, your lower front teeth, your incisors exert about 25 pounds of force, the bicuspid 65, the molars 125 pounds per square inch. And you have the ability with 28 teeth to exert up to 3,000 to 4,000 pounds per square inch overall.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. We are last 10, 20 seconds. So at this point in time, I want to acknowledge and thank my good friend, Dr. Randy Feldman, for joining me today. Next week, we will be tackling gastroesophageal reflux disease with Dr. Jürgen Nord from USF. This is Steve Maskin signing off. Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Have a great week.